Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name is Brian, and I am a fellow small church pastor in the trenches with you. And speaking of fellow small church pastors in the trenches, I'm joined by two of the best ever made, Joey and Colby. Guys, what in the world is going on?
My life is dope, and I do dope things.
That's right. Joey, what's up with you, man?
I am trying to be blessed, even though my wife is making me drink black coffee.
Oh, is she going to make you do CrossFit next? Come on, Aaron.
No, she's not going to do it. I've been put on the intermittent fasting because my in-laws are doing it. And so after 25 years of marriage, for the first time, I'm thinking divorce.
Oh, whoa. Okay. Good thing that she doesn't listen to this podcast, right? Yeah. So intermittent fasting, that's okay. That's, man, may the Lord be with you and all of those things that would go along with that. So, well, guys, this is a fun podcast. Today we are going to be talking about navigating church hurt. I feel like Joey has got some intermittent fasting hurt. Some nutritionary, dietary hurt he's dealing with there. We're going to talk about what all pastors and all small church leaders have dealt with at some level, some way in their ministry, and that is navigating through church hurt. So here's the question. How do you go through church hurt and not hate the church? We see that happen all the time, that we see, especially in the ex-evangelical movement. That's the thing where these people are referring to themselves as former evangelicals. Because oftentimes they've had negative experiences with the church. They've had negative experiences with church leaders, with church people, with Christians, whatever it is. And I'm not saying that they're not legitimate. I'm saying in many cases they're very legitimate hurts, but have in turn caused them to hurt the church, to hate the church. So how do we navigate through this, guys? Like, when you think about church hurt, what comes to your mind?
I wish I had handled the church hurts that I have experienced better than what I did.
Oh, wow. Man, that's a deep statement. You care to unpack that a little bit?
I think we're going to unpack that as we go through.
Oh, so listener, be ready, because as we go through, we're going to unpack some stuff and, man, share some things. So, Colby, what about you, bro?
I think for church hurts, when a church person is hurt and they begin to hate the church, they leave the church, they in turn leave Jesus. They're not going to, if the church has hurt them, they're not going to go to another church. They've lumped all churches into the same category, so they're going to leave the church. They're going to give up their relationship with Christ. When we're talking in the pastor realm, you're going to see pastors leave the church as well, leave the ministry as well. And it could be somebody that has been doing some great things in ministry, a high-octane leader that has done awesome, but a hurt has hurt too much, whether it's to them or their family, and they've left the ministry. And that doesn't just affect them and their families. It is also going to affect their church. And so it's so important to be able to navigate through these things a healthy way.
Yeah, there are definitely – everything's connected. And it's kind of like whenever you put your Christmas tree up and you string the Christmas lights around it. If you're like me, you enjoy doing that and hate it at the same time. But you know everything on that tree is connected. And so when the kid or the cat or whatever hits one side of that tree, it affects everything else that's going on there.
And when one bulb goes out?
Oh, my Lord, have mercy. See, now we need – we're not even talking about church pain anymore. Now we're talking about life pain.
Life pain.
But it's a reality that we all have encountered on certain levels. And one of the things that is interesting about our group here is you've got like a range of emotional responses to these trauma moments. And what we want you to know for those of you that are listening to this is that if you have experienced a hurt by the hands of a church leader or by a program that the church used to do that they stopped doing or whatever it is that you've encountered, man, if it's a legitimate hurt, that is a real hurt that you need to work through. Now, already somebody's probably pushing back because I said, wait a minute, you mean something, my hurt's not legitimate? No, that's not what I'm saying, that your hurt's not legitimate. What I'm saying is sometimes we have real hurts and we have what are perceived hurts. I know for me, I'm one of those guys that I like to ramp everything up to level 10 just straight out of the get-go. And whether or not you intend for it to be received as a level 10, and don't say amen, by the way, guys, but whether or not you intend for this to be perceived that way, I will automatically ramp it up to a higher level than you intended it to be. And that's just not a good way to live. Sometimes I've had these moments where both of you guys have I should probably start paying y'all, to be honest with you. You've had to, like, talk me off of a ledge and go, no, wait a minute, you're not hearing this correctly, because here's what is really happening. And what happens if we live in that land, we can take perceived hurts, and instead of healing and processing through perceived hurts, we do, as my grandma used to say, make a mountain out of a molehill. And so let's talk a little bit about perceived hurts versus real hurts.
Well, when my perceived hurts have come in, it's because what is being said or being what is being done triggers a real hurt from the past.
Okay, okay,
and
that's
I
good.
Assign those emotions and what happened in the past to this new person, whether that's their motive, that's their intent or not, because I go back and pull that emotional file and I associate it with this new what I'm perceiving as a new hurt, then I put on them what that other person did.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not fair to them, and I need to go through and be intellectually honest with myself and emotionally honest with myself. Is this what they intended, or is this something that I'm bringing up from my old emotional files that's still haunting me?
Wow, man, that's so good. Like, what you're essentially saying is that this may not be as serious or as intentional as I'm perceiving it to be. And because I haven't dealt with it in the past, it's now coming back up. And I love this phrase you said, emotionally honest with myself. Do you mind unpacking that just a little bit more?
Well, I sometimes I don't want to be emotionally honest with myself because I don't want to identify the emotions that I'm having because they're not spiritual emotions.
Right, right.
And so I will be dishonest about them and call them other things. But if I got down to it and I was honest with myself, this is actually the emotion that I'm having. Jealousy, hurt. I'm trying to think now. Jealousy's
feeling,
the
betrayal, all kinds of
yeah,
things like that. Yeah.
And all these are they're coming back. And that if I'm spiritual, I won't have these feelings. But reality is I'm having these feelings. Yeah. And so I try to spiritualize. I try to sanctify my real feelings instead of being honest with them and dealing with the real feelings.
Yeah, that's so good, man. And, Kobe, you have anything you want to add in with that?
So I think sometimes the perceived hurts and the real hurts is just a lack of communication, a miscommunication, something that was said that maybe we took wrong. I mean, just like somebody comes in and compares you to Stephen Furtick, you know, you may not take that as a compliment, even though they meant it as a compliment. So it is, or maybe you're taking it as a compliment and they didn't mean it as a compliment. So, you know, there's something there that there could be a miscommunication there that you think, was that an insult? Was that not an insult? How was that going? So the communication part is so important. And sometimes when we ramp it up to a 10 and they were like, well, I was actually trying to compliment you. Then you've got to have the whole discussion about why that's not a compliment or you know whatever it was. And so we really have to. Words matter. We've said that so many times. Words matter, and so that miscommunication can really start the whole painful process going on.
That's so good. And words do matter. And I think the thing that I'm hearing from what you're saying that's really kind of generating this thought in my soul. Is that we, as small church leaders, we deal primarily in relationships. That is really kind of what our arena is. And so whether or not we're trying to get people to have a deeper relationship with God or trying to have them to have a better, more intimate relationship with the Bible or a relationship with serving other people, we're dealing with one-on-one people. And now we have policies to help us deal with people, but what oftentimes happens is when you get people together, man, there's just going to be miscommunication and there's going to be misunderstanding. And I think that when we talk about perceived hurts versus real hurts, there's a vast difference in me saying something unintentionally to hurt you and me actually trying to hurt you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, for example, if someone can say that, man, your sermon went a little too long, and that could be true, it could be hurtful, but it's not someone saying that, you know, there's a prophecy of death over you. Like, you know, like we've had experiences like that. Joey, I think you've had something like that too, haven't you?
Yeah. So one of my real hurts, we were going to talk about procedure and we're going to talk about real hurts. One of my real hurts was there was a group because I come in and I didn't let them manipulate me. I was control. I was leading instead of letting them lead via me. They had a group meeting and had a prophecy that the Lord was going to kill me, so that they, you know, because I was leading the church in the wrong direction, and the school in the wrong direction, and God was going to kill me, and they needed to hang a cross above their door so it did not visit their classroom or to visit them at the school, and they were waiting for me to die.
I have heard this story so many times, and I just can't believe that people are like that. I'm 13 years as a lead pastor. I should know people are like that. But my Lord, man, I mean, wow.
So it's a delayed prophecy because 10 years later, I'm still alive. So,
and it hasn't been for lack of trying.
and so I went around and knew how I had to get rid of.
Yeah.
And then when I had to do what I had to do, get rid of them, because you can't be here if you think there's a prophecy, I'm going to die because I'm leading it in the wrong direction. Then they went on Facebook and run me down, talk nasty about me. And here's the thing. I wasn't supposed to be hurt by that. I was supposed to go on. Well, you never called us. You said all this stuff about me. And then I can't be hurt. Because I'm the pastor. Your words don't hurt me. But because you took this on and did this, you're hurt.
Yeah. One of the most frustrating things as a leader is you always have to fall on the sword. And what I mean by that is we always have to take the high road. You look at this in the analogy of sports. When the team wins, it's not the coach's fault. But when the team loses, it is the coach's fault, not the players. And so often as a leader, people say negative things about us. People go onto the World Wide Web of Facebook and social media and say whatever they feel like saying about us. And the minute we try to defend ourselves, or the minute we try to say, well, you know what? You're a cotton-headed Nanny Moggins, too. That's the second that we lose credibility, because people go, oh, I thought you were supposed to be a pastor or a leader, and you're supposed to be better than that. And just, small church leader, please hear me. Stay off of social media. When you're hurt, when you're emotional, when you're like, man, seeing red, don't click the blue Facebook icon, okay? Like, there's an old ancient wisdom saying that says, guard your words, because after they come out, you can't chase them down even with the swiftest of horses. And the same can be said of your post. We all know we can delete a post, but you can't delete somebody from already reading the post. Mm-hmm. And so be very careful with that. So real hurts versus perceived hurts. Joey, that had the potential to be a very real hurt in your life.
It didn't have the potential. It was. And it shook me for a while. See, I was like that. I had the perspective that I was a different leader than everybody else.
Yeah.
That I was they went in and they had trouble with people because they just didn't love people as much as I do. Like the married couple that goes, oh, we're never having no problems because we're more in love than anybody else ever.
Or the ones without kids. My kids will never do that. Laugh and laugh and laugh. Like, bless your little cotton picking heart.
And so it really, really hurt and really attacked who I was because of the insecurity I had as a leader. And so what did I do? I went into depression for a while. I didn't want to engage in anything. I pushed that off, and I disengaged, and I found a community that I could find success in. And I went into that community for a while. So I started buying guns and I started shooting guns, and I got into that community because I could find some success there. I could hit a target there, and I felt like it was a failure as a pastor.
Why are you pointing at me when you say I could hit a target? You saw that, right?
I did see that. You know, when Jesus does call you home in 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, if any of them are still around, they're going to be like, see, I told you. I told you. Yeah, they're going to claim victory on that one.
What about you, Colby? Have you had any personal church hurt experience that you'd like to share with us?
So I've had to kind of dig into it because I'm not an emotional type of guy. I don't much worry about what other people think of me because I know I can rub people the wrong way. I know I can be a jerk, not intentionally, but I can be a jerk, sometimes intentionally. But I've had a family leave the church. And not tell me why. They wouldn't answer my phone calls, my text messages.
You know what we call that? Since I'm the millennial on the team, you know what we call that? A Holy Ghost.
A Holy Ghost.
You got Holy Ghosted.
I got Holy Ghosted. Yeah. So they wouldn't return anything, and so after a while, I really just felt God saying, "Hey, you need to go by there and talk to him." So I went by there, and he wasn't feeling well. He was resting, and I talked to the wife for a few minutes, and then I said, "Well, when he's up and feeling better, you just let me know if there's a day I can come by and just connect with you guys." And he called the church secretary and said, "You let him know if he ever comes onto my property again, I'll have him arrested." And it bothered me for 2.5 days. I gave it 2.5 days maybe to bother me. I'm like, okay, well, I can't do anything for you. I tried to reconnect, and it didn't work. And so life goes on for me. I love you. I'll pray for you. And it's given me an opportunity to pray for him. But you don't want me? I'll keep rolling. No.
And that's such a weird place for me to hear, because I'm the total opposite of that. And there are some that are listening that are like, "That's right, Colby. You're doing a good. That's absolutely. Bless God. Let him go." And then there are others that are listening. They're like, "What? I don't get it." Like, and that just shows that we're all built differently, and we all perceive and handle hurts differently.
That would have created another church hurt, and it wouldn't have been church people hurt. It would have been, "God, why did you send me over there to have me threatened to be arrested?"
Yeah, so that was the key thing. I don't know if people heard or not. He said, Colby said, "You felt like God was telling you to go over there."
Yeah, it's time to go over there and reconcile.
And then what you're saying, Joey, is you'd be like, "Well, okay, God. Like, I was obeying you, and this bad thing happened. What's the deal with this here?"
But the way I took that was, I still believe it is going to happen. It's just not on my time. And so I believe that there'll be a reconciliation. I believe that we'll get together and we'll talk things out. And it was a miscommunication, I believe, as to, because they haven't told me why they left, but they told others that they were, I offended them somehow. And so I believe that there was a miscommunication going on, and I truly believe that God sent me over there for a reason. Now, it may be to start a jail ministry. I don't know, but I don't feel called to go back. But I believe that in God's timing that we will have that conversation at some point, and so.
And you tried to reach out to him a couple times, and they wouldn't answer the phone call. So you done what you done. You did that after obedient to the Lord. But now you have a clear conscience. You done everything that you can do, so you can let this go.
Yeah. So I don't know if I can classify it as a church hurt, but I will, just because I needed something to talk about, I guess. I don't know. So, again, I'm not that emotional guy. I'm not that guy that's like, if you don't like me, that's fine. I'll send you to Brian's church. I'll send you to somebody else's church. I mean, if you don't like our church, you don't like me as the pastor, that's okay. I'm not the only one in town. You can go see some of the others. Find somebody that you can connect with. Just don't stay home. And so that's how I feel about it. And so it's like, you know, I can't get too beat down over somebody not coming to the church because they're mad at me. They need to go do something. Go somewhere. Go get Jesus from another church.
Just this week, somebody threatened to come to my church. I said, "Listen, Colby's is closer. Why don't you go over there?"
So we have some that are listening that are like you, Colby, that go, "Well, I don't really get a whole lot of church hurt." And probably this episode's not for you. There are some that are listening that are going, "Well, you guys haven't even touched on the type of depth of hurt that I've got. Like, I was fired from a church, and I tried everything the right way. And now my wife doesn't want to have anything to do with church again, and my kids are hurt, and they don't even love Jesus or any of that." And man, we have definitely not experienced all of those things. Joey, you have an experience like that, but you've shared a story already, so I'd like to share one, if that's okay.
I was going to say, I have been fired, so I get that. Yeah.
So just share.
I've been fired, so I understand that. But I was going to say, you have a hurt, and I was going to make sure that you got a chance to share that, because you have a story too.
So I do have a story. We don't have time, but we got 10 minutes left on our timer over here. But my story is, our church has been split before, and I've carried that around for years, and it's been painful, and so I've been there. I get it. And what we've got to do is we've got to process that healthily. So let's move on to number 3, how do we handle those hurts so we can process those healthily? Guys?
You want me to give you mine? Because mine will be the quickest one of the bunch.
Give us yours, Colby.
Oh, well. You got to have an oh, well. And what I mean by that is you've got to do what you can do to try to work through. Now, this is for those people that are wired like me.
The ones that have already quit listening because we're too touchy-feely for them?
Yeah, yeah. So I keep them around. So the church hurt happened. You have to let it process through. Don't take it to a level 20 right away. Sleep on it. Let it marinate for a little bit so you can see, okay, was it really as bad as I thought it was? Next day, get a hold of a trusted elder, a trusted church friend, a trusted pastor, somebody like that that you can talk to, that you can work things out with. And then you may get to a point where maybe I just miscommunicated. Oh, well, we're just they missed what I heard and what they said was two different things. Oh, well, I'll move on. If it was something that you did, then you need to go fix it. But if it was something that, you know, maybe you just miscommunicated, oh, well, I got to keep going. I can't stop just because somebody said something that I took wrong.
Yeah. And I love how you highlighted the fact, if it's something that I've done, I need to fix it.
Yeah.
I need to have extreme ownership of it, and I need to go and I need to say, hey, this is something that I did that was incorrect, wrong, or sinful even, and I apologize for that. But you also, like Winston Churchill said, you'll never reach your destination if you stop and throw rocks at every dog that barks. And as a pastor or a minister, there's going to be a lot of barking dogs. You just got to keep moving forward. So, Joey, you've written some really cool things down here, man. What are some things that you would like to share with us?
Well, what I had to learn to do and what I had to do with that hurt eventually after 6 months of maybe even a year of doing it wrong, I had to finally take it to God and have a real conversation and get real about the emotions, because I didn't want to get real because I wanted to sanctify them. I really wasn't having this hurt. I wasn't this deeply hurt, but I was because I disconnected. So I had to take it to God. God, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I want you to do to these people. I wanted to pray those David prayers. Lord, bust their teeth in the mouth. Make their tongue dry up. You know, all these things that I wanted to pray, and I had to lay that out, ugly as it was, before the Lord, and go, this is how I'm feeling. This is what's going on. And then let God speak into that in my life.
That's really good. We try to hide from God, don't we?
Oh, we do.
He already knows how we're feeling. And all that does is it just creates two bottlenecks. You've got a bottleneck with this situation you're dealing with that needs to be dealt with. And now you've got a bottleneck with God. Like, you've got to get real with God. You've got to lay those feelings out. And it also, one of the ways that you can get real with God is to have other people in your life that you can get real with. And people who are there to sit in the ashes with you and not try to counsel you through all of it. Now, you also need to get some counseling, too. Mm-hmm. Like, their emotional, psychological hurts, man, those are serious issues that we have to all deal with. And, man, the reality is what we don't resolve will revolve. If I can be a little youth pastor-y on us, what we don't resolve will revolve. That's what, man, my youth pastor, Brett Cooper, taught me that years and years ago. And that's what happens with church hurt. If we're not willing to resolve, hey, maybe I went through a church split, maybe I was fired from a church, maybe I thought God was telling me, and I heard God clearly, not I thought God, but maybe God was telling me to go and reconcile, now I'm going to be threatened with jail. Well, what is it that God's doing right there? Well, like, what is it about that situation that God allowed you to be in it so he can work something out for his glory and your good? Is it a situation where you're just learning to be content in all things? Maybe God's teaching you that. Is it a place where God's showing you, hey, you can improve as a leader in this area? Maybe it's something where God's saying, hey, this is just persecution, and persecution comes. So learn what it is that needs resolution so you can resolve it, and then learn what it is that God's trying to teach you through. We've heard before that God doesn't waste pain. So if you're going through pain, what is the reason? What's the lesson? What is it that God's trying to teach you? There's a funny meme that goes around social media that says everything happens for a reason, and maybe the reason is you're dumb and you make bad choices. Right? Like, can we be honest enough to say that most of the time we think that we make the best leadership decisions that there ever is? I know I do. I think I'm the best leader in the whole wide world. I'm at least the best leader that's on my side of the bed in the morning when I wake up, right? But we need people in our lives that can be like, hey, you didn't handle that correctly. And this is why you're facing the pain you're facing right now, is because you didn't handle it correctly. And so, man, there's so many different things there.
one of the things that I'm doing is trying to front load when trouble comes. And here's what I mean by that. The Bible, James said, count it all joy. And when trouble comes, the first emotion I have is not joy. But if I can, when trouble comes, when persecution comes, when these hurts come, if I can look at it and go, okay, God, what are you going to do with this? You may not have brought it. It may not be from you. But what am I going to do with it? What are you going to do with this? Can I trust God to do something good with that? I think Kobe says it a different way. Change the soundtrack.
Yeah.
But it's something that you do better, at least for me, and Kobe's learning that, to deal with us and get this out. What is that tool that you use to get your feelings out?
It's called a sledgehammer.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
There we go. Kobe was daydreaming. We got it back now.
I love it.
Are you talking about the positivity ratio? I don't know it. What is that?
Journal.
That's supposed to be a J.
Okay, C. Okay, we don't have. Okay. Journal, yeah. So I've been, years ago, I got connected. I thought you were going to deal with journaling, so I'm not prepared right now. So I'm a stammering idiot
right here.
And I'm also looking at the clock, so I'm like, holy cow.
Now you know how I feel most of the time. So.
Yeah, but at least I look good.
See.
Do I need to get the soundtrack machine back out? No, I occasionally will journal some thoughts out and try to really work what I'm feeling onto the paper. I found that for me, it helps me to be able to open up and articulate what exactly it is that I'm feeling. And it helps me to be really real and really, really honest, really gut level honest with. There's something about that transition from getting it from your brain down your arm onto the paper that really forces you to try to sit and go, okay, what's the real issue here? And it can be cathartic. It can be helpful and healing. And so, yeah, that's definitely one for sure.
And then you always take those notes and nail it on the person who offends you's door. Is that what you do with them?
Yeah, like Martin Luther, baby. I'm nailing it to their door. I actually intend on nailing it to them, but most of them aren't there.
They won't hold still long enough for that. Yeah.
So this has been some good stuff, man. Like, and here's what we want you to know as church leaders. You're going to go through hurt. You're going to go through pain. And it's kind of like a ship in a storm. The ship was built to weather that, as long as you don't let the storm get inside the ship to the point to where the ship sinks. And for many people, the conflict and the struggles and the issue has been so much that they've gotten inside of you and caused the ship to sink. We're praying for you, and we're here for you. You don't have to do this alone. You were built to overcome this. Here's a secret. You've already overcome every day that has tried to take you out so far, so you can overcome this one. And with that, Joey, you got anything else you want to share?
Quick thing that you were sharing with me. This is yours. I'm stealing it. That you need three positives to every negative. And so make sure that you find that ratio out. And so that hurt that comes in, make sure you find three positives to counteract it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You guys got anything else you want to share?
I just want you to go to Facebook, type in the search bar, and put in their small church leadership. Go to our Facebook page, communicate with us, talk with us, and we would love to hear what you have done to get through the church hurt that maybe you have faced. Other people out there are dealing with the same thing.
And I would like you to go to your Facebook page. No, I'm just joking. if you go wherever you're getting this podcast, give us a 5-star rating and share it with somebody else. We would highly appreciate it.
That would be very helpful. And so, guys, thanks for sharing with us today. I hope that you and listener land have gotten a lot out of this, and it's been worth you sitting and listening to us. We know that it's been worth it, but we just hope that it's been worth it too. Come on, somebody.
That's right.
Until we meet again, we're really appreciative of you guys and your support. This has been the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are prayerfully and hopefully helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name's Brian.
I'm Joey.
And I'm Colby.
And we will see you next time, guys. Bye now.